your enemies. Eisner said he wanted to be friends. In that case, in the few weeks remaining under his contract, Katzenberg said he'd like to oversee the upcoming releases of Pulp Fiction, the first release under the Miramax deal he'd negotiated, and Touchstone's Quiz Show. And he'd like to attend the London premiere of Lion King, where Elton John was hosting a party in his honor. Katzenberg also mentioned the bonus that would now be due him, and reminded Eisner of his last days at Paramount, when Eisner had insisted on getting his check from Marty Davis and had walked to the bank to cash it. "It's not that you weren't going to get your money," Katzenberg said. "You just wanted your business cleared up. I'd like the same." Eisner seemed agreeable. He was feeling almost euphoric now that the long-anticipated deed was done. "The tension seemed to seep out of the room," he later wrote. "Our conversation turned to earlier years and better times together." Jeffrey later described it as the most relaxed talk we'd had in a year. By the time Katzenberg got back to his office, Steven Spielberg was on the phone from Jamaica, where he was visiting Roger Rabbit director Robert Zemeckis. Though the Disney press release supposedly wouldn't be available until 2 p.m., it had gone out while Katzenberg was still in Eisner's office. As Spielberg commiserated, Zemeckis called out, "You guys should do something together." Next on the phone was Geffen. "Should I do something with Spielberg?" Katzenberg asked. "Are you kidding?" Geffen replied. "If I were you, I'd do it in a second." At the Disney studio, Rob Moore, the studio's chief financial officer, raced through the corridor handing out copies of the press release. David Vogel was on the phone, and Moore pressed the release against his internal office window, gesturing frantically for Vogel to read it. Vogel immediately hung up and, on impulse, headed upstairs to Katzenberg's office. In place of the throngs who usually lined up for Katzenberg's attention, no one was there. Katzenberg was sitting at his desk alone. He had a manila folder in front of him labeled Michael. Vogel sat down across from him. Katzenberg seemed oblivious to his presence. He pulled out a document from the file and glanced at it. "I guess I won't be dealing with that anymore," he said as he ripped the memo first into halves and then quarters. He hurled the scraps into his wastebasket. He continued until he'd ripped up every document in the folder. Vogel saw a 19-year relationship being reduced to torn scraps of paper. That evening, Eisner and Jane joined songwriter Carol Bayer Sager and Warner Brothers chairman Bob Daly for a long-scheduled dinner and a meditation session with celebrity guru Deepak Chopra, another of Eisner's experiments in stress reduction. Sager had been emailing Eisner for months, urging him to try meditation, and Chopra had flown in from North Carolina for the occasion. Daly was already in Sager's living room chanting when Eisner arrived, but paused to commiserate over the hard day he assumed Eisner had had. Eisner found Chopra smooth, articulate, and charming. But before they could even get to the mind-body connection, the New Age physician launched into a rapid-fire discussion of marketing his books and tapes, his publishing deals, and whom he knew in Hollywood. By the time they got around to meditating, Eisner felt overstimulated. As in his brief attempt at yoga, the attempt to clear his mind was, in itself, stressful. Still, settling Jeffrey Katzenberg's future provided enough stress reduction for the next